Turn to Psalm 90 this morning, please. Psalm chapter 90. Titled the message, 3 Score and 10, Psalm chapter 90. I had been thinking about preaching on this a couple weeks ago and came to it this week and I don't know. But I'm back at it because God didn't give me anything else, so I want this to exalt my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is about me, but it's really about Him. And that's my purpose this morning, so if I fail in it, at least that was my intent. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of Psalm chapter 90. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath, we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is our strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of Thine anger? Even according to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent Thee concerning Thy servants. O satisfy us early with Thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein Thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, and Thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish Thou it. For some time, my precious children have been telling me I'm old. After my birthday Wednesday, I fear I have to admit it. 70. I'm not even sure how that happened. I'm just still struggling to get my head around that, and I'm not sure how this poor young thing ended up married to an old man. But I am. Now, the Kennedys gave me a birthday card this week. Turning 70 used to be something old people did. Now, apparently, it's something cool people do. Thank you. But it's time marches on, doesn't it? It doesn't stop, it doesn't pause, it just continues, no matter what. You know, they say as you get older, you spend a lot of time contemplating the hereafter. And I must confess that that's true. I'm all the time walking into a room and wondering, now what did I come in here after?
Amen.
How many of you relate to that? It can be annoying. But if I ever step to the pulpit and have that experience, then we all got a problem. Job 32 says, 7 says, days should speak, and the multitude of years should teach wisdom. And so I hope that through this message this morning that that will be the end result of that. You know, I've, I've been truly blessed of God. The song we sang this morning, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. That's certainly true in my life. It's true of all of us, of course, but I think just the life that I lived before I was saved, and by God's grace. And the life that I've lived these 47 years since I've been saved is truly all by God's grace. I'm so blessed. I've now lived twice as long as I did before I was saved. That's a blessing in and of itself, because before I was saved, I said, I'll never live to see 30 years old, and I believe that. And following the course that I was following, I probably would not have survived 30 years. But now I've gone far beyond that, 40 years beyond that, in fact, by the grace of God. And I look back at my life, and there are four times when death was could have been imminent in my life. Four times that very easily the result could have been death that I know of. I was 14 years old when my arm got caught in a power takeoff on a corn picker. And that could have easily killed me or taken off my arm. But God, in his mercy, even though I wasn't even saved yet, spared me. Then when I was about 21 or 22, a buddy and I were out one night imbibing of adult beverages and were racing. And I don't know how fast he was going, but a lot faster than he should have. Missed a corner in his 65 Mustang. And we should have been killed that night, but walked away. A few years later, when I was about 25, 26, I did a barrel roll in a dump truck. That could have killed me easily. Then 15 years ago, when that car came down on top of me, that was the other two, three times, you know, even though death was imminent, it never occurred to me at the time that that could have been a result. It wasn't until afterwards, thinking about it, I realized, man, that was close. But this one, 15 years ago, I thought I was going to die. That thing was pressing down on me. I was having trouble breathing. And Jesse was just, what, 2 or 3 years old at that time. He was the only one home. And nobody to help me. And just the weight of the car on my chest, I couldn't breathe. And I said, well, God, I didn't expect to go like this. But I made my peace with God, and I wasn't afraid to die. But God wasn't ready for me yet. The mansion's not finally prepared. God still got something for me to do. And it's all by his grace. God allowed me to see Jesse grow up. He allowed me to see my family expand by adding a son-in-law, a daughter-in-law, and four grandchildren. Been able to see the church grow, and some of my family members, some of my siblings, two of my five siblings have been saved, maybe three. Seen some other people saved, been privileged to be able to lead some people to Jesus Christ. Stars in the crown that God's allowed me to have a part in bringing them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Getting to meet some of you people. And how good God has been to me. And I know this probably isn't a big deal, but it was to me being invited to speak, give the opening prayer at the House of Representatives several years ago. It's not nearly as impressive as it sounds, as the building was basically empty. But got to stand before that and give that opening prayer. Got a little certificate about it and everything. Invited down there by Glenn Thompson. God's been good. It's all by the grace of God. I never would have been able to do some of the things that I've been able to do. We've been to two different countries to visit. We've been our annual trek to South Jersey just about every year, as well as some trips out to Kansas to see Ben and the kids out there, see our old friends out in Kansas. God's been so good to me in this 70 that he's allowed me to live. the parameter that God sets for a lifetime. The days of a man, he says, are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, that's 80 years. You know, with all of science's advancements and all of the things that man has done, the life expectancy has not gone beyond the parameters set back in Moses' day. Yeah, there's exceptions to that, but the average life expectancy still falls within 70 to 80 years. Moses wrote this psalm, Psalm 90, so that predates David. Dr. Rockman used to say, stick to the Bible and let science and education catch up, usually about a few thousand years later. God's been good. My hair's gotten whiter. The old body's not quite like it used to be, but I don't have any prescription medication that I take. I'm still able to do, maybe not as quickly or as efficiently, but most everything that I want to do. I have lived to be old and full of days. And I don't know how many more God has for me, but I thank him for what he's giving me. But there's a few things that I want to use this to remind you of this morning. And the first is this: life passes quickly. 70, it's hard to fathom that. Look at verses 1-6 again. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth. Let's drop down here a little bit. Verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up, in the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, in the evening it is cut down and withereth. And it's gone. So quickly. As you look back on, looking forward, it's like, man, is this life ever going to proceed? I remember when I graduated from high school 52 years ago. And I remember about that time, I was thinking, well, I wonder when I'm going to grow up, be considered a grown up. I wonder when I'll be a man. Is it when I graduate from high school? Is it when I get a job? Is it when I get married? Have kids? What determines when I'm grown up? Well, what I found out is I've gotten older, but I haven't grown up. But I remember thinking about that. And as a kid, I'm sure some of you young people here, you're thinking, oh boy, I can't wait till I get my driver's license or do this or graduate from high school. It'll go by fast, young people. A lot faster than you realize right now. I now realize I'm old, and it's gone by fast. The Bible, several ways it describes it, as a watch in the night, as a weaver's shuttle, fast, quick as a post, different things to illustrate just how quickly life is, how quickly life passes. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. All the things that we might boast of, just like the flower of grass. It blooms and then quickly passes away. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Quickly passes away. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 14. Whereas yet you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's brief. As I mentioned, that 70 to 80 year parameter that was mentioned in Psalm chapter 90, that's not a guarantee. Proverbs 7:27 verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I could point to those four times in my life when death seemed imminent. But I wonder, how many other times were there that I'm not even aware of? How many times when if some one little thing had been different, even a moment difference, that I'm not even aware of, that death could have resulted. It goes quickly. It's happened right within our congregation. Unexpected. Don't boast about tomorrow. Amen. It goes by fast, and all you're guaranteed is the moment you've got right now. That blood clot could hit your brain and you're gone, just like that. So, well, yeah, I'm a young person, so? Doesn't matter. Life is so fragile and so fleeting. What about those near misses? Life passes quickly. Secondly, look again at Psalm chapter 90, this time down at verse 12. Make your days count. Moses says in verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Make your days count. Look back at Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Make your days count. Let's look at a couple of verses here. Go to Genesis 25. Just a peek at several individuals in the Bible here. One verse for each one. The first one is Abraham. Genesis 25 and verse 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people. Up in verse 7, it says he was 175 when he was a good old age, full of years. Full of years, 175. Well, that's beyond the parameter of 80, isn't it? Chapter 35, his son Isaac, verse 29. Now, Abraham was said to be full of years. Notice what it says about Isaac. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being an old and full of days. And his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. Full of days. Isaac was 180 when he died. He lived 5 years more than his father did. Even though the terminology is a little bit different, I think the point conveyed is the same. Full of days, full of years. It was full. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We come to David, King David, the man after God's own heart. Now you've seen these two men earlier that had lived 175 and 180 years. In 1 Chronicles chapter 24, or 29, excuse me, 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 28. And he died in a good old age, full of days, just like Isaac, riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. You know how old David was when he died? 70. More than half of what Isaac and Abraham lived. But it still said he was full of days. Then you've got another man named, in 2 Chronicles 24:15, Jehoiada, who is said to have lived 130 years and full of days. And Job 42:17, lived 140 years, full of days. So the span differs. But how God describes the span of their life, even though differing numbers of years, they're all said to be full of days. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply hearts to wisdom. Make your days count. What are you doing for Jesus Christ today? Because that's all you got. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You never know. Think of Don at home. That was right after Thanksgiving, wasn't it? Christmas, you know, the Sunday after Christmas, just out in the mountain on the four-wheeler, out and enjoying a beautiful day with his son and his grandson, and the next thing you know, he's in the hospital on the verge of death. It could have killed him. Wait up until the doctor, she said the doctor's not going to release him until September. He's got at least 7 more weeks with the walker. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There's so many ways that our lives could be changed. As you leave here today, make the days count. Take advantage of opportunities to learn. That's what I try to teach my kids, is just, you know, you get a job somewhere and there's some new thing to learn, learn it, man. You never know how God's going to use that. I mean, I look at my life and I didn't plan where I am today. But there were just times when I got an opportunity to get my chauffeur's license, my CDL. I took it. And throughout my life, I've used that thing repeatedly. On the farm, driving the school bus, working for the highway department when I worked there. And just all kinds of things, welding, things that I picked up over the years, just because the opportunity was there. And you never know how that's going to fit into the puzzle that's God is developing of your life. Take opportunities to learn, acquire skills. Spend time with your family. And be quick to reconcile if you need to. Because you may not get a chance. Well, it's sad how many families are broken up, where people don't talk to each other, won't have anything to do with each other. That's a tragedy. Get that thing fixed. Do it before it's too late. Make your days count. Especially for something for the glory of God. Teach us to number our days. I preached a message a couple of times on this and how God numbers things. You go through the book of Judges, and in one place, it tells you that it's 450 years, the time of the judges. But then when you start adding it up in another place, there's, I think it's 83 years that are missing. But as you go back through the book of Judges, and if you count all the times when the people of Israel were in disobedience before God raised up a judge to deliver them, if you add all those years of that time when God has kind of put them on the shelf, it equals the difference between the 450 and the 580 some, I think it was. Those days of disobedience didn't count in God's way of reckoning. So he says, teach us to number our days. I've got 47 years since I've trusted Jesus, or these 47 years this year, since I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. I'll guarantee I don't have 47 years that count. What if it's only 47 days? That'd be a tragedy, wouldn't it? Teach us to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom. Make your days count for the glory and honor of God. Go back to Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90, verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Amen. To learn to rejoice and be glad all your days. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, this is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh yeah, I can go back and I can look at things in my life. You know, that month that I spent in a hospital at 14 years old after I got caught in that corn picker. But you know, that doesn't bother me. I was out of school from November until April because I couldn't even be outside if it was below freezing because of the skin grafting that I'd had. You know that I couldn't even wear a short sleeve shirt at school for a couple years. I was so ashamed of my arm. But you know what? I'm over that. I've learned that stuff doesn't count. Those things that I was so fretting and worrying about as a teenager, what a waste. How foolish. Rejoice in the days that you've got. Rejoice in what God's doing in your life. Amen. And use it for His glory and honor. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Now we waste too much time fretting about stuff. In fact, later on it says in Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Learn to rejoice in God. Okay, God, I don't like what's going on in my life right now, but what are you trying to do with it? Again, we've been looking at Joseph in Sunday school. What an example. This kid, 17 years old, his family turns against him, sells him into slavery, gets taken down into Egypt. Bought by a man down in Egypt. What's Joseph do? Works his tail off for the guy. And is raised up within the household of Potiphar. From a position of a lowly slave in a foreign country to being in charge of all of Potiphar's house. Well, then Potiphar's wife has designs on him and he ends up in prison. What's he do? Works in prison. Raises up again. No complaint whatsoever in that man's life. This is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God, what have you got for me in my life today, right now? As bad as my situation might be, as horrible as my circumstance is, God, may I use it for your glory and honor, that you can be lifted up so that this day will count for you. Rejoice and be glad in the days that God has given you. And one more. Look back at Psalm chapter 90 again, verse 16. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. May my life be lived in such a way that others take note of it. That it not only is benefit for me, but that somebody else gets benefited by it as well. Appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Whenever my end comes, God's going to determine just what is going to count in my life for eternity. I mean, I can see some things and I look at some things and think, well, that should be something. But God's going to determine it ultimately. But I do believe there will be a few things at least that God will be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I know there's some things he won't say that about, unfortunately. But make your life count, not only for you, but in other people's lives. If it's just in your own children, to make a difference, and your grandchildren, that God would make a difference in their lives. My two youngest sisters, I know for certain, are saved. The sister that's next in birth order to me, I think, is saved. And when I got saved, I mean, I'm embarrassed by the way I acted. I mean, I was zealous, but it was a zeal without knowledge. I'd corner them and just preach at them. And they got saved in spite of me. And you know, those two sisters have repeatedly said to me, we're so glad. I said, how can you be glad for that? That was dumb. They said, but God used it. It took a while. I think it was 10 years before the first one got saved. But God used it. And again, it's not me. It's what he did through me, and sometimes in spite of me, not because of me. What do you got to pass on to somebody else? What's your legacy going to be? Will there be others that'll be coming along and saved and serving God because of the impact that your life had upon them? Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. A generational impact. Because you don't know what you got. Yeah, you might have the 80 and 10. You might even have the 80 or beyond that. What if you got considerably less? Purpose this day to use it to the glory and honor of God. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, God, I thank you so much for the salvation that you've wrought in my life. God, I thank you for the privilege to be able to stand before this people and pray that I've been faithful with that privilege to use it to your glory and honor, not to in any way to lift up myself. Because God, you deserve all the glory. God, you are more than worthy. And from everlasting to everlasting, as the psalm said, you are God. So Lord, I pray that you'll take this feeble attempt this morning and apply it in the hearts of your people as you see the need to encourage, maybe to rebuke. But help each of us, God, to strive to use each and every day, at least in some way, to please and glorify you, to have an impact, to make each day count, at least a little, for eternity. God, I thank you for the people you've assembled in this place. Lord, I'm just amazed when I think about what you've done, what you've allowed me to be a part of. And God, may it continue. May we continue to impact generations until you come to take us all home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.